website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your entry into our discussion of the day, asking your questions, making your comments, letting your voice be heard. Some have used the term, I want to get my 2 cents worth in. Well, we're inviting you today to put in your nickel's worth or your 2 cents worth in your dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about today a question that I think is, valuable for every Christian to analyze and to look at the scripture. Should Christians always, that's the key now, always obey civil government? Should Christians always obey civil government? You'd be surprised how many Christians, pastors, denominational leaders say yes to that question, that regardless of what the government says, we ought to obey it. Because after all, they say, God said so in the Word of God. Well, did He? Is that what the Scripture says? That's what we're going to look at today and analyze it, make that determination as best we can based on the authority of Scripture. We find that there's much confusion among Christians and churches and religious leaders about submission to civil government. Today we see the government making laws and issuing regulations and executive orders about a whole multitude of things, many of them are which, from the Christian perspective, we need to say, should we? Could we? Why? And ask some questions based on the central biblicist worldview that we ought to have. I'm thankful that we have today the privilege to analyze this and talk about it with Pastor Davis. Pastor Davis is with us today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion on that subject. Pastor, I'm thankful that you're here.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. First, I do honor the Lord for being here on today. Say good morning to my bride, amen, of 37 years, amen, and all my family and friends that are listening on today. And we hope and pray that you will listen intently with the desire to receive something from this, because this is a very serious topic as we live in this world today.
Yes, it is.
For Dr. Youngblood, we no longer live under a government that fears God.
That's right.
So every Christian needs to know and understand. I mean, there are nuggets that we can pull from this on today so that our lives can be ruled and governed by the Word of God, so that when we face situations that become controversial to His Word, we can make the right decision.
Guy, I like the way you put that, rule by the Word of God. And let me just paraphrase that. We need to live ruled by the Word of God rather than ruled by the will of government.
Amen.
I think
Amen.
That'd make a good statement.
Amen. Amen.
And
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're going to be talking about. But let me just remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to His disciples in John 8:31-32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further in John 17:17, the scripture says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to direct our footsteps, ought to be the light unto our pathway that we go by, live by each and every day. Truth. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've heard me say this before. If you've tuned into this broadcast, you certainly have. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." You'd be surprised how many people disavow and disallow and dis, if you please, as the world calls it, truth today. Even you're talking about theological, doctrinal, biblical subjects, there are those that will disallow and disavow what is absolute truth based on the authority of the Word of God. You certainly find that in the secular world. You find that in the political world. You find that with AOC, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and others that just simply disregard the truth. And I find it frightening, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the fact that the latest survey shows that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, simply say each person determines their own version of truth. There's no such thing. That's an arbitrary and capricious mindset that I believe is causing divisiveness and, as a result of that, a total disregard for the truth of the Word of God. I could go into great detail of theological doctrinal discussions where there's major division because each one thinks that somehow their truth is prevalent, relevant, without the realization that God's Word is the only truth. In fact, in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. And how long is forever? It's forever. It is eternal. It has no ending. The truth of the Word of God, God endures forever. And may I remind you, that causes me to go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I challenge you each and every day on this broadcast to do that very thing. We need to get to the point, ladies and gentlemen, that we say, I don't care what CNN, the Communist Network News, says. I don't care what Fox News or MSNBC or any other news source. I don't care what they say. I'm going to examine it through the prism of the Word of God and see what God's Word says. See how we need to respond, what we ought to do. This is one of the very reasons we're talking about this subject today. Should Christians always obey civil government? And the answer to that question is no. Now listen, I think that if you pull up to an intersection, there's a sign that's painted red, octagonal shape, that has the words on it, STOP. It does not mean slide tires on pavement. It means to stop. And I believe that every Christian, every individual, whether it's Christian or not, needs to obey the law that says stop. That sign is there, says stop for your good, for your benefit, for your safety. But ladies and gentlemen, there are many multitudes of governmental regulations and rules going all the way back, as far as you can find in the Old Testament, going all the way back where rules and regulations, guidelines, directives were given by political leaders that God-fearers in the Old Testament, Christians in the New Testament, had to make a decision, are we going to obey God or government? What is the decision? God created man as a volitional being. God created man to make choices and decisions. And I think our choices and decisions ought to be made based on the authority of the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful benchmark to assist you in finding the home of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you today. Pastor Davis and I are talking about the question, should Christians always obey civil government? Pastor Davis, before you and I start a little dialogue and discussion, I want to set the stage for our listeners to understand a basic premise of what we're talking about. I'm going to read a brief article that sets the stage somewhat. The headline says, should a Utah school district ban the Bible? Now, before I read parts of the article, the question is, does the government have the authority to ban the Bible? Does the government have the authority to say you can't have a Bible, you can't read the Bible, and that you cannot have a Bible in a public school classroom? Does the federal government, does the state government, does the local government have that authority? If supposedly, let's suppose for a moment that they have that authority. If they have that authority from the standpoint of what man's law says, should we as Christians have to adhere to that rule, regulation, guideline, or authority? This article is dated April 28, 2023. The Davis School District in Utah is considering whether to ban the Bible from all of its libraries. The school district received a complaint from a parent to remove the Bible, claiming that it is, that's talking about the Bible now, claiming it is sensitive under the state's sensitive materials law. The parent's complaint referred to the religious text as calling it pornography and having no serious value for the minors in school. This article says, we sent a letter last week to the school district. It is the law firm First Liberty, and it says, the serious educational value of the Bible, secondary school students, is unquestionable. Far from being inappropriate, many studies have shown that the knowledge of the Bible is actually critical to the students' educational process. Importantly, it is also illegal for the school district to display any hostility toward any particular religion or religious text. The school district must adhere to the law. Further, the article states, in surveys by the Bible Literacy Project, 98% of high school level English teachers agreed that the students who do not know the Bible are at a disadvantage when reading and studying English literature. Additionally, 38 out of 39 English professors representing Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, and the University of California at Berkeley, among others, agreed that an educated person must have an awareness of the Bible. What's more, 80% of parents and teenagers, 13 to 17 age group, agreed that the Bible is beneficial for their child's comprehensive arts, literature, and music learning. Responding to these statistics, the Bible Literacy Project created a curriculum to teach the Bible academically. Those lessons have been taught to 150,000 students at 650 schools in 48 states, including Utah. The Supreme Court previously said that the Bible may be studied for its literary and historic qualities in any public school. In school districts in Abington Township, in school district of Abington Township versus Shemp, it stated that one's education is not complete without a study of the comprehensive religion or the relationship to the advancement of civilization. It added that it certainly may be said that the Bible is worthy of study. And it goes on to talk about the different courts' decisions and what the U.S. Constitution allows. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a school district like that, and multitudes are, and the school says your child can't have a Bible in the public school, what do you do? How do you respond? Do you simply say, yes, because you're the government, and after all, we're supposed to obey the government? We're going to talk about that in this broadcast today. What does the scripture say about the authority of government? Where does government get its authority? And if government fails to recognize where its authority is sourced from, then any laws that's made, rules or regulations, would be that which would be aberrant to the one that is the giver of the law, the one that is the originator of civil government. That is God himself. But Pastor Davis, I'm going to just do a litany of things that's taking place. Prayer and Bible in the classroom have been banned by the government. Churches, church closures took place over a two-year period of time at the whim of government. Government forced citizens to take the COVID jab, to wear a mask, and to have be faced with lockdowns. Today, government approaches the standpoint of promoting the sexual mutilation of young boys and girls. They push the sodomite agenda in every sector of government programs, including our public schools. Today, Christian parents are frightened into silence about porn that's being taught in the classrooms. And after all, the parents, when a parent confronts the school board, all of a sudden the parent then is persecuted and prosecuted and considered a domestic terrorist. How does that stand with what a Christian parent or a citizen in general should do? Should we simply submit to the government authority in that realm? Today, civil government says that murder by way of abortion is legal, but is it biblical? Is it right? And should Christians and conservatives adhere to that mindset? Today, government is now setting the standard for holy matrimony. The government, Pastor Davis, is setting the standard for marriage. The government is saying today, and it's being forced upon every institution, every college and university, and every realm of citizenship, including the attempt to force churches and religious organizations to accept the sodomite marriage. Now, with all of that being said, Pastor Davis, I go back to the quote that I love so much from Ezekiel 33:10. How should we then live?
Amen.
So based on these things, without getting into detail at this point, just state for our listeners, how should we respond as Christians when we see government encroaching on our civil liberties, when we see government encroaching on our rights to obey the Lord, when we see government encroaching on our relationship to God through Scripture and through prayer, et cetera, et cetera. How should we respond?
Well, then, Dr. Youngblood, we have to consider, again, we owe our highest allegiance to God.
Yes.
I mean, in spite of all.
Yes.
Now, let's look at this from several different perspectives, because actually they have us in a pickle,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a country sense of speaking. That's just a country phrase.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Amen. But what we need to know, because of unregenerate, unrepentant, and reprobate people now being in positions of authority to make rules and pass laws that are contrary to the Bible,
mm-hmm.
that are based on unrighteous ends, they have been able to take the words of the law and twist it
yes.
to their own advantage, or to gain an advantage from one unrighteous position or another mm-hmm. that will never benefit a Christian.
Yes.
Now, why is it like that? We have sat on the stool of do nothing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And have not run for public office mm-hmm. so that we could be salt and light the way that God commanded us to do. Surely if we would get in these positions to where, and I'm talking about political positions, yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people say, you know, when you vote, you're showing favoritism. And I heard that for many years in the church. We shouldn't vote because it shows favoritism.
Wrong theology.
That's your patriotic duty.
That's right. Absolutely.
As a citizen of this country, you are supposed to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, because it was supposed to have been based upon the Word of God through what God gave to the founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's that way, and we know it to be that way, it should remain that way. Mm-hmm. But it had not remained, because once again, unrepentant, sinful men have gained an advantage to where they are now sitting in seats of authority, and they're able to call shots that make our lives uncomfortable.
Absolutely. And you said that, and it touched a thought in my mind. Here, I reckon it's been a year ago, maybe a little more, U.S. House of Representatives member Jerry Nadler was debating, along with the other legislators, about a sodomite bill, I believe it was House Bill H.R. 5, if I'm not mistaken, which would allow the boys to go in girls' bathrooms, shower rooms, locker rooms, et cetera, would allow the federal government to prosecute churches and religious institutions if they would not embrace the homosexual lifestyle and the teachings thereof. And so one of the legislators is on the floor of the House, standing at the podium, reading from the scripture of what God's word says about that immoral lifestyle. Jed Nadler screamed, "God's word has no place in the halls of Congress." Now, that probably summarizes it more than anything I can think of. A number of years ago, we had a young man that was a city councilman here in Jacksonville. He served for 8 years, went on to be in the Florida House. Now, he's just been elected as one of the Florida state senators. And he would always take a stand against things that were immoral, ungodly, and unholy. They gave him a nickname of Dr. No. would say, no. So they called him Dr. No. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of legislators that we need today, that's willing to say no if it is any way against the word of God, if it is any way that is immoral, unholy, and ungodly.
Well, there's a prime example right there, Dr. Youngblood, of what I said earlier about sinful, unrepentant, and reprobate.
Yes.
You know, I call the Democrats degenocrats.
Degenocrats.
Because they are degenerate in every sense of the word.
You can't say anything else if they stand for sodomite lifestyle.
Amen.
They stand for abortion. They stand for the transsexual movement. You can't call them anything else.
And now, we have to know, there is a difference between a confessing Christian and a professing Christian.
That's right.
Christian.
Absolutely. Vast difference.
Anybody can confess, but everybody can't profess.
That's right.
The only way that you can even say that Jesus is Lord, according to Romans chapter 12, is through the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You have to have him down on the inside to even be able to say who Jesus is. Now, I heard Nancy Pelosi say not long ago, "I've been raised Catholic." We even hear President Biden say from time to time, "I was raised a stout Catholic." Okay.
That's probably what his note card tells him to say.
Amen. Now, you confess that, but are you professing the Christ that's supposed to be in that? Now, here's where we know truth from error. When it comes down to people like this gentleman that said that the word of God doesn't have any place in the halls of Congress, what he needs to know and understand that the laws that the Congress operate from were already based on the word of God.
Absolutely.
So guess what?
Absolutely.
The word takes precedent over Congress.
That's the whole point that we want to get to in a moment, Pastor, is looking at some of the text in the scripture, like Romans 13 others, Titus 1, 1 Peter 2, that talks about government civil authority. I'm looking at an article, Pastor. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have you dialogue in your discussion, your input. Do you believe, it's a very, very simple question, do you believe that a Christian should obey all civil government? Do you believe that a Christian should always obey civil government? Do you believe there are areas that the Christian ought to say no to civil government? It's not a trick question. I want to hear from you. I want to understand your understanding of what the Bible says on that line. You'd be surprised how many people say, how many Christians and how many churches, how many denominational leaders say, "Yes, sir, a Christian needs to obey everything the government says." I'm sure, and one writer said, "I'm sure there are many governmental agencies and authorities that are wicked people, but after all, God says we need to obey them because they're government." No, 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 that's not what the Bible is saying at all, ladies and gentlemen. It's a matter of a misunderstanding, a misinterpretation, a misuse of the Word of God to validate simply bowing and bending. This is the reason so many denominations today are embracing the sodomite lifestyle. This is the reason so many denominations today are allowing homosexual preachers and homosexual deacons and homosexual members in the church. It's because they claim that that's what the government is now saying. So the government has, in fact, stepped in and become gods to multitudes of Christians rather than God being God and obeying what God's word says.
Amen.
Pastor Davis, I'm looking at another article. It's a massive article, and we'll take time to read it all, but I'm not going to try to read it all. But there's about four or five brief paragraphs. Christian substitute teacher and mom was fired because she opposed a gay book in the library. Now she's just won her case. A Christian substitute teacher has been reinstated to her job and awarded $181,000 in damages and attorney's fees after a Georgia school district settled her lawsuit Monday. The district has also had to publicly apologize to her. Last August, Lindsay Barr, that's B-A-R-R, was fired from the Bryan County School officials by Bryan County School officials as a substitute teacher after she raised concerns about a book that was going to be read to her three children at the McAllister Elementary School during a library reading aloud program. The book titled All Are Welcome contained several illustrations of same-sex couples parenting and expecting children. The book caused Barr, that's the lady, concern because it contained depictions that conflicted with her sincerely held religious views on marriage and family. She believed the book is inappropriate for young children and that it appeared to be part of an effort to indoctrinate and sexualize young children into a progressive ideology. Barr brought her concerns as a teacher and parent to the school principal and asked that her own children be excused from the reading time. The very next day, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the very next day, she was unable to access the Bryan County school portal that she used to accept substitute teaching assignments. 5 days later, she was informed by the school that she had been terminated and that her ability to teach at Bryan County School had terminated. Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, attorneys representing Barr first sent a demand letter last September explaining that her termination was in direct violation of the U.S. Constitution and was urging the district to reinstate her as a substitute teacher. When district officials refused, the law firm filed a federal lawsuit. The article further states, Lindsay spoke out as a Christian, a mother, and a private citizen on an important issue, namely the content of appropriateness of the book at the school that the school was planning to allow the kids to read aloud in the classroom to the children. She said that it conflicted with her family values and her faith. Yet the school officials immediately retaliated against her for expressing those views and fired her from her job that she had done an excellent work in. Ladies and gentlemen, that was an elongation part of that article. But the point being that the laws today, civil government, whether it's on local, state, or national level, are instituted in laws, rules, regulations, fiat executive orders, et cetera, that multitudes today conflict with and collide with the biblical worldview that every child of God, every Christian ought to stand up for. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we must understand the role of government in view of God's word. What does God's word say about the role of government? We're going to look at that and talk about it from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and following. We're going to look at it and talk about what we need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's vital. I believe we live in an era today, lest we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. We're going to see further major repression and persecution and prosecution of Christians. Right at this very moment, through the Biden administration, there's a push to legalize and to force every church, every religious organization, every Christian school to embrace the sodomite lifestyle, the homosexual multitudes being married that are two men and two women, and to force churches, schools, and religious organizations to embrace it, to accept it, to celebrate it, or be prosecuted and persecuted by the federal and state government. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk further about that right after the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to continue the thought today. Should Christians always obey civil government? We're going to have about a 1 minute top of the hour news. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The Federal Reserve's preferred gauge of inflation remained stubbornly high last month. Economists say that means we'll likely see yet another interest rate increase next week. The military investigating the deadly collision and crash of two Apache helicopters in Alaska. Three soldiers killed, another injured. The copters were returning from a training mission at the time of the accident. Former Vice President Pence has gone before a grand jury in Washington, the grand jury looking into the events leading up to the riot at the U.S. Capitol. Former President Trump has held his first campaign rally since President Biden announced that he would seek re-election. Mr. Trump was on the stump yesterday in New Hampshire. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 154 points, the Nasdaq 57 points higher, the S&P up 23. More details, srnnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious issue today. Should Christians always obey civil government? And that question is not a trick question, but it is a loaded question. Should Christians always, that's the term, always obey civil government? And I'd love to hear from you. Do you believe that is the case? If the city council in Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida, passed legislation tomorrow, and it said that men could go in women's bathrooms, little girls have to tolerate the shower rooms, the locker rooms with males, do you think that ought to be embraced, adhered to by Christians? Well, you need to consider it, because that's the law in Duval County. In fact, this is one of the reasons I've said that Dr. Dana Green needs to go ahead and resign or be her contract canceled, because she's the one that's promulgating and pushing that in Duval County, the public schools. That's her position on it. And so the question is, should we as Christians embrace that? Should we just sit back in silence? And I could go on and on and on. In fact, one of the things that prompted me to use this as a subject today, I read an article just yesterday by Joseph Farah, which is the publisher and the general editor for WorldNet Daily News Online News. And Joseph Farah asked the question, should Christians always obey government? And he, in the subtitle, says, Joseph Farah shows how tyrants have misapplied Romans 13. And just a moment, we're going to read Romans 13, dissect it just a little to amplify on it and use it. This writer says, ever since I can remember, I've been attacked by people who call themselves Christians for suggesting civil government, civil disobedience to government, is not only justifiable, a justifiable course of action against unjust governments, but one that is required by genuine government-honoring believers. The so-called Christian who take this government-first position cite Romans 13 as their scriptural reference. So, Pastor Davis, take a minute and read carefully for our listeners Romans chapter 13, the first 7 verses. And then we're going to take a minute and just touch on it. We're not going to try to exegete the text word for word. We're going to touch on it and then use that as something to extrapolate from to make the point when we ask that question, should Christians always obey civil government? Read that text for us, Pastor Davis.
Amen. It says here, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Let's pause for just a moment there. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, we're in Romans, the book of Romans, New Testament, chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained, appointed, approved, set up by God.
Amen.
Now, that sets the stage for the balance of the text. The stage for the balance of the text is simply saying, let me paraphrase, Pastor Davis, for our listeners. The stage is being set, and the stage that is being set is, we've got government, but God ordained government as government servants to carry out God, which is the higher power, to carry out God's authority and God's power.
Amen.
Simply put, that's what the scriptures say. Now finish reading that text for us.
Amen. It says here, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply simplify that elongated text for our understanding. God has given us civil government. In fact, he created civil government back in Genesis, the 9th chapter, further elaborated on in the New Testament, here in this text, and in 1 Peter text, and in Titus chapter 3 text, of which we'll talk about having time today on this broadcast. But the scripture is very, very clear that the purpose for government, civil government, is to prosecute evil and to protect good.
Amen. Amen.
Now, Pastor Davis, we've reversed that in society today.
Amen.
Today, we're finding government seems to have the idea that anything that's good, they're to prosecute, eradicate, and totally eliminate in society, and to protect that which is evil and wicked. If you don't believe that, ladies and gentlemen, just pay attention to what Joe Biden is doing. Joe Biden has been ruling now for 3 years by executive order. Joe Biden is the one that is pushing from the Oval Office, pushing it nationally and internationally, the sodomite lifestyle. He's pushing the barbaric butchery of teenagers and preteens and mutilation of the teenagers, the preteens. 146,000, I believe, is the number. So far, it's been butchered. That's made sterile for the rest of their lives, dependent upon big text for the rest of their lives as a result of his mindset, that ought to be the major responsibility of government is to force the transsexual movement And the transsexual movement is a demonic, unholy, ungodly, unbiblical, how would you say, lifestyle, and promulgating that on the lives of the Americans today.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the responsibility of government. In fact, going back to the article now by Joseph Farah, should Christians always obey government? He says the so-called Christians who take this government-first position cite Romans 13 as their scriptural reference. He further states in this massive article, it's a major, major writing, he says, at first glance, it might appear to make some sense to suggest that Paul, an apostle, was suggesting that Christians should never disobey government authorities. And didn't Jesus himself say that we should render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's? To that question, of course, the answer is yes. But he did. But that's not all Jesus said. He also said, and unto God the things that are God's. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that we need to render to Caesar, i.e., to the civil government, but we need to render and submit things that are God's to God.
Amen.
And for example, one of those things today, ladies and gentlemen, is the Bible calls it holy matrimony. The government has no authority. The government has no power. The government has no business trying to modify, change, to radically inject sodomite marriages into the holy matrimony it's called, because it is an idea of God. That is one man, one woman, one lifetime, one commitment. It's the government, it's the idea of God that says that we're going to have Adam and Eve as husband and wife, not Adam and Steve, or not Eve and Evelyn as husband and wife.
And not Steve and Cleve.
Not Steve and Cleve.
So we have to know, Dr. Youngblood, God had it right the first time.
Yes, absolutely.
Because everything you're speaking about right now, here we have the Apostle Paul that warned us, mm-hmm. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, mm-hmm. giving heed to seducing mm-hmm. spirits mm-hmm. and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. See, that's the key word at the end of those three verses.
That's right.
Knowing the truth.
Believe and know the truth. Mm-hmm.
So we see here, when you have something, and I've had this before, I got in there, I should have let my bride take care of things, but I got in there and tried to iron one of my favorite pair of pants one day, and I walked away and left the iron on there, and I seared my good pair of pants
yeah.
beyond repair with a hot iron.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to throw those away.
Right.
If this conscience, like this Bible is saying, had been seared with a hot iron, then it's good for nothing.
Good for nothing.
Especially not to be put in a position of leadership to lead anyone. Because the end result is going to be them making decisions for us that are based on reprobate thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So where will we end up at? The whole church, the Christian community, and everyone else would end up in shipwreck because we have allowed sinners to lead us.
That's right.
So, going back to what I always like to reflect on my elders in the church.
Mm-hmm.
My pastor told me a long time ago, a sinner cannot lead a saint.
Mm-hmm.
So, we as Christians, we need to stand up, speak up, like I always hear you say on this program.
That's right.
Stand up and speak up. You know, we don't need to sit down and be silent no more.
That's right.
The longer we sit down.
Time to come out of the closet.
Amen. The more this thing is going to continue to get
right.
out of hand.
Right.
So it's time for us to get on our job and do what we're supposed to be doing and for the Lord.
It's time to be salt and light.
Amen.
Pastor, I'm looking at a book, and some may be familiar with this. It's by Dr. Wayne Grudem. That's Grudem. The title of the book is Politics According to the Bible. It's 620 pages. As far as the breadth and the depth of it. On page 88, top of the page, subsection, when is it right to disobey civil government? Let me read you one paragraph. God does not hold people responsible for obeying civil government. However, when obedience would mean directly disobeying a command of God himself, the principle is indicated by a number of passages in the narrative section of the Bible. One clear example occurs in the early days of the Christian church. After Jesus had commanded the early apostles to preach the gospel, Matthew 28:19-20, the Jewish governing authorities the Sanhedrin arrested some of them and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. But the apostles Peter and John answered, "We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." Acts 4:20. And later, Peter proclaimed, "We must obey God rather than man." This is a clear affirmation of the principle that God requires His people to disobey the civil government if obedience would mean directly disobeying God. And ladies and gentlemen, we can go throughout the scripture, and I can point out to you principle after principle after principle that stands on as how we ought to obey. In fact, I want us to think, Pastor Davis, for just a moment, to categorize. I like a skeleton, an outline. But an outline, if I were to outline what we're talking about today, I'd call it the source of government's authority. The source of government's authority. And that number one would be found in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Government is God's servant to obey, to follow, and to serve God. Now, that's the God's servants, i.e., we elect them at the ballot box. They are elected by the people, placed into office, but they become God's servants to submit and surrender to God's will for what God's way and God's word requires if they pass legislation or stand for legislation or embrace legislation that counters the word of God. They're no longer recognizing God as the higher authority, as in Romans chapter 13 calls for it to do.
Amen.
Secondly, government is God's servant to prosecute evil and to protect good. And we're finding, as I said earlier, a major, major, major contradiction of that today. Today, civil government appears to have forgotten God's plan for those that place them in authority. It is the Lord Himself who established rulers and political leaders. In fact, Pastor, in John 19, verse 11, Jesus told Pilate that the earthly rulers, their power came from above. When civil government oversteps the God-given authority and counters God's word, Christians should decline and declare we ought to obey God and not men.
Amen.
As Peter did in Acts chapter 5 and in verse 29. That's what we find in the scripture, and we could go through multitudes of scripture. That's what we find is the source of government's authority. The source is from God. But ladies and gentlemen, we, as the old cliche that used to be, back in the 60s, Pastor, there used to be an ad on television, radio. It's on Brill Cream. It was a hair cream. And it says, "You've come a long way, baby."
That's right.
And,
Amen.
As it stands today, we've come a long way away from the Word of God, away from what God's Word says. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. But what is the source or the scope of government's authority? Let me just give you a few things here, Pastor Davis, and for our listeners today to think. God created a family, not government. It's God that sets the standards for our home and for our families and not government. And yet government today is trying to say through the governmental educational system what mom and dad, sons and daughters should do and how the home should be run. God said it is one man and one woman, one lifetime, one commitment for holy matrimony. Government says it could be Adam and Steve and not Adam and Eve that would be the husband and wife. Government now says that males can compete with females in sports, and Christians and conservatives today must say no. We can't just roll over and say yes. That's government making rules and regulations that's antithetical to the Word of God, that is totally opposite to what God's Word says. It's God that sets the standards for marriage,
Amen.
Not government. Christians must say no to the government push to force churches to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. And yet that's happening today, Pastor, at an exponential rate that I just would not have believed 20 years ago. Look at another article that says, "A Christian's relationship with a godless government." This is by Dr. James Dobson, focused on the family. And Dr. James Dobson makes some major, major points. He said, "Why should I submit to government that I believe is moving in the wrong direction? I love my country. I want to cooperate with the political system, but I'm struggling to understand what the Bible says on this subject. How in the world can the Apostle Paul tell Christians to submit to authorities, Romans 1, 13, 1 through 7, when he knew and he knows for a fact that many human governments are corrupt and unjust? What should a believer do when he feels that his own government is ungodly? The Bible says, in fact, commands the Christians, submit to the government authorities and pray for the kings who have authority over you, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a very serious subject. And Pastor Davis, I believe that the elementary, fundamental point that we understand this makes a difference in how we stand and what we say and what we do is for standing up, speaking up, being heard, being seen as Christians in America.
Amen.
It undermines the salt and light that God charges us to have in our society. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. Hi, good afternoon. I completely agree that we should not obey a government that is leading us further away from the Word of God, further away from the things of God. I look at it like I look at my marriage. I've been married for 27 years. My husband is saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. But if anything he tells me and our adult children to go against, if he tells us something that goes against God's word, then no, I will not obey. I will not go out and commit a sin or do something that is contrary to the word of God. And I love my husband. I love my country. But I am not going to do something simply because it is law that is contrary to the word of God. I'm not going to take, you know, my children or nieces or nephews in a bathroom that's shared. You know, if I have a nephew, he's not going in a bathroom that is shared by homosexuals and transgenders. Baby, yes. You won't hold it because we're going to go somewhere else.
Right.
And I think what we have to understand is the time is going to come for us as parents and grandparents and aunties and uncles, you know, that have our children and our nieces and nephews, where we're going to have to make some tough decisions where we're going to stand out. We are truly going to stand out. But I truly believe that we're going to be a remnant. There's a remnant, and we're going to be okay because we'll be the people that will be following God's word. We won't just buckle and, oh, well, we just got to do it because they say so. No, we don't. God will take care of his people. God will take care of his people.
Amen. You said it so poignantly, pointedly, and correctly. I'm thankful for that position because that's exactly what we're articulating today. And I believe when it comes down to our public school system, when it comes down to our city council and our governmental agencies, when it comes to our legislators in Tallahassee and in Washington, if we see them erring from the word of God as seeing God as they being a servant to God, when they get the idea that they are the king and not the servant to the King of Kings, we need to replace them, remove them from office, and place someone in that's going to honor God. That's our only hope in society today. And I think it's time that churches, Christians, pastors, and denominational organizations stand up and be willing to be heard and seen and say, no, we're not bowing, we're not buckling. When you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament, they disobeyed the king. But look what happened. They didn't bow. They didn't bend. When they were thrown in the furnace, they didn't burn. So that goes along with what you've just said, which is exactly very, very correct. Thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a blessed day. God bless you.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, another thing we need to fully recognize. Because we have allowed this thing to happen, it's going to continue to spiral out of control even the more as time goes on.
Yes, it's doing that rapidly now.
Let's make sure we understand God's still in control.
Yes.
He's still got everything in control. But
he's still sovereign.
Amen. As far as we are concerned, as Christians, we who are wearing his name, he holds us to the highest standard. So regardless of what happens, as the young lady just got finished saying, you still have to live holy.
That's right.
You still have to stand for what's right.
No deviation.
You still can't compromise. And going back to what you said, I can remember a commercial. I'm not going to tell you how old we are. We're still less than 100.
That's right.
Amen. But I can remember a commercial that came on during the 60s that used to say, I'd rather fight than switch. That's the kind of stand we got to take today.
Absolutely.
We need to fight.
Rather
than switch.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't give anything up for my salvation or for my Lord and Savior, Jesus
God
Christ.
God calls us to do so.
Amen.
In fact, looking further at the Dr. Dobson article that I touched on a little earlier, he says, in other words, no one can become a king, an emperor, a governor, a president, an assemblyman, or senator apart from God's will. But this doesn't mean that possession of political power amounts to a stamp of approval from God. That's where the will of the creatures and the liberty and consistency of a whole host of secondary causes come into play. After all, Dr. Dobson says, the Bible calls King Nebuchadnezzar God's servant, Jeremiah 25:9. This obviously does not imply in any way that Nebuchadnezzar was a godly man.
Amen.
So
amen.
You can take these servants that we call political leaders, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they are godly, but they need to recognize that they are under the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Pastor, I want to take a few minutes and talk about some of the situations that there calls for governmental disobedience. Exodus chapter 1, the midwives. Pharaoh had told the midwives, if a baby boy is born, to kill it. The midwives disobeyed and saved the lives of the boy babies. Joshua chapter 2, Rahab disobeyed the king's command to kill those that he wanted to preserve, and she protected them, disobeyed the king's command to kill them. In 1 Kings 18, Obadiah disobeyed Jezebel's order to kill God's prophets. Obadiah hid hundreds of God's prophets for them to live. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the Apostle Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. He had been preaching the gospel. I call him a street preacher. He was preaching on the sidewalks. They said, you can't do that. They beat him, locked him up, put him in jail, released him the next day, and the very following day, they saw him out doing it again. They grabbed him up off the streets, said, haven't we told you, you can't do this, that you can't preach on the streets? God had said we need to preach the gospel, spread the gospel. They were doing that. And here's the government says, you can't do that. Peter said we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen. Amen.
And yet we find today, ladies and gentlemen, where people that are standing on the sidewalk in front of murder clinics called abortion clinics, where they're simply reading the scripture, passing out tracts, are praying. Today they're being ticketed and are persecuted and prosecuted as a result of that. We need to understand it's time that we stand up, speak up. The scripture says that we need to be obedient to God rather than obedient to man. That doesn't mean that we run a stop sign and say that we're Christians. We don't have to obey it. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over to the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, sir.
And Bishop.
Good morning. Hey. Good morning.
I heard something.
Kenneth, I can barely hear you. There's some rumbling that cuts your sound out.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
I can hear you better now, yes.
Okay. And I heard a report that if a minor consents to have sex with anybody, they could do it. And I think Biden is going with this. And that's just
well, Biden is on the very cusp of anything that's unholy, ungodly, and immoral. And what you're touching on is the potentiality, and it's being pushed now by the sodomite community, being pushed now so that there can be a sexual relationship between any child and any adult, because after all, that child can consent. But I want the world to understand that child is not capable of consenting. If any adult says the child consented, that's a demonic lie, and we ought to run from it. We ought to challenge it. And anybody that stands up, even in any positive sense for that, we need to remove them from public office somehow, some way. Kenneth, our time is gone for today, but thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm prayerful today that you've heard with an open heart to understand what the scripture says. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one that establishes the rulers. In fact, in John chapter 19, verse 11, Jesus told Pilate that the earthly rulers' powers came from above. He could do nothing apart from the Lord God himself. The Apostle Paul expressed that in Romans the 13th chapter when it talks about the governmental authorities being servants of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's my prayer today that you'll stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, be salt, be light in a dark and dying, decaying society in which we're living in. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students.